Technorama episode 443, HTTPS.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for a new SSL certificate for my web server.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time again. And if you're new, well, I already said that. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chuck Tomasi, getting older by the day and more forgetful by the minute. And with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am fantastic. Four. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Yeah,
I'm great, man.
Nice reference. Also joining us in the binary studio here in sunny Phoenix, Arizona is...
This is Jack Mangan, Valar Morghulis.
I almost threw in a story this week about the names from Game of Thrones auto-corrected. Like it would auto if you threw Hodor into your phone, it would say, hooray! And nice. Sansa Stark came out as Santa Stark. It made some really good ones. Tyrion Lannister was Tyrone Laminator.
But all words on Hodor's phone are auto-corrected to Hodor, no matter what word you put it.
Very nice. Let us move on with the show. We will be coming up in this episode, if I can click the music twice. There it is. Coming up in this episode, Drones with Guns. Sounds like an 80s song, doesn't it? Yeah. Zombies ahead and chicken church. Because that's the kind of stuff we do on this show. Be right back.
Welcome to Hospital Radio, your source for information at St. Ubuntu Hospital. Coming up later today at 11 a.m., we've got a live broadcast from operating room number 4, where Dr. Robinson will be doing a quadruple coronary bypass on Lester Hayes. Mrs. Ackermeyer, don't forget you have a hysterectomy at 9:30. Mr. Johnson, your prostate exam is at 3:30 with Dr. Richards. On the lunch list today, we've got Spam and Peas for vegetarians. The record-breaking streak of coleslaw continues.
Code Blue, room 413.
Room 413, that would be Mrs. Harrison. If you're related to Mrs. Harrison, be the third caller and you can win a 2-for-1 Botox injection this coming weekend with Dr. Sanders. We'll be back with more Hospital Radio right after this.
Hi, I'm Bill Farmer. You may know me as the voice behind Goofy, Pluto, and many other characters.
Howdy there, this is your old pal Mr. Haney, and you're listening to Technorama with, who are they with? Chuck and Craig.
We're not the only ones getting old and forgetful, apparently.
Yeah. Chuck and who?
Thank you, Mr. Haney. Yeah, a little forgetful in his old age. We asked a couple of weeks ago, what? Well, let's play the music anyway. Just because it's so much fun music and we massacre it every time.
Hey.
Letters. Oh, letters. And some more letters.
Hey, where'd this number come from?
Mailman.
Oh, letters. Letters. Let's find out what you got.
Oh boy.
Say.
Oh boy.
Mailman. Mail today.
Who's there? Honest, the kids ran off again.
But there's a flaming bag of dog crap on my porch.
Quick, stop it out, Chuck.
Fall for it every time. Last week's question. Oh, sorry.
That was old time Blues Clues, really. You know, for you younger kids out there.
Right.
Oh, man. Last week's question was, what book have you owned the longest? Mike, Craig, and I discussed a little bit at the end of the last show. And this week we have no replies.
Wait. Let's get some immediate feedback from Jack.
Jack, do you have a book that comes to mind that you've owned for a very, very long time?
My original copy of The Hobbit is long gone. I have some, have a Scat Cat book that my mom owned in the 1950s. That was kind of her childhood book.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one. Of course, the probably the coolest answer I have is I have a really beat up, tattered old paperback of Dune. So that's pretty
paperback
cool.
of Dune.
Yes.
I can imagine that's a little tattered after all these years.
Yeah. Hmm. That one gets me with the cool kids, though.
I remember having a copy of that.
The Dune graphic photo novel?
Yeah. It's a picture book.
There's a story between me and my buddy Mark. On a rainy day, we read the Grease photo novel one day. It just doesn't work without the music.
Grease.
Grease, yeah.
Tell us more.
Wella. Oh. It just doesn't read the same. Oh, Sandy. Oh, Danny. Nah, never mind.
Most of Travolta's best works, you know, it's like that.
I don't know why I pulled this up, but I searched for a Grease coloring book and I found some pictures.
I don't know where that came from. That goes with the Game of Thrones coloring book we did a few weeks ago where you need lots of red crayons.
Yeah.
So a few weeks ago, listener Nicholas is replying to a couple of shows ago where he said, what video game... I got to watch my spelling here, or he does. What video game... Stop it. We have two editors going on at the same time.
I'm fixing it as you talk.
Should be rebooted. I'm not sure... Nicholas writes, I'm not sure if they need to remake it, but just last week I pulled out an NES emulator and started up Super Mario Brothers 1 through 3. My kids, age 5 to 10 years old, or unless that means 5 and dime, were mesmerized. But of course, they thought it was new. They thought it was so cool, they left the living room where they were playing Skylanders something, something, something on the Xbox. That's what it says.
Yeah.
To come to my office and play it on a much smaller screen. I'm thinking if they decided to remake it with some sort of twist, my kids, okay, and myself, would play it forever. Signed, Nicholas. That's an interesting remake, because that is a wonderful franchise.
I had this theory, kind of goes along with what he just explained there a little bit, was when my son was born, I thought, you know what, for each year of his life, I should go back 20, 30 years and reintroduce everything to him.
One thing per year?
Yeah, the same things each year as he got older, so he would appreciate all the video games and music and all the stuff that I did growing up. And then one day, of course, he'd step out the door and go, what's this world? I don't know if it worked, but it's a thought.
Doesn't that happen to most homeschooled kids, Craig?
No.
They step out the door and go, what's this world?
No, it does not.
All right. We want to hear from you. Send your responses to technorama@chuckchat.com or tweet them to @technorama. Follow us on any of these social media things and you will get the weekly question of the week, which we will come up with a new one shortly. Facebook page is a good place, or if you really are inspired and want to hear your own voice on this crazy show, along with the three other people that do the show, 206-222-2428.
What's your answer, Chuck? What video game would you want? Or I'll put it out to both of you guys.
Oh, video games. We had a good discussion on that. I'm trying to remember what I came up with.
Mine was Pong.
I would love to see... what did we talk about? Defender, like a 3D Defender where you could have multiple views?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Battle Zone was one of them because that's what kind of prompted this whole discussion with
it was another
3D
Atari game.
First person shooter graphics.
What was the other Atari game that Michael brought up?
Missile Command? That's not Atari. E.T.?
You know what? Wait a minute. I can envision a really cool version of Missile Command. Same kind of thing. Yeah, a little bit more on the 3D side. You know, you could do something really cool with that.
Well, think about the first-person shooters, like the World of Warcraft or something, where you see the guys running around and whatnot. You see a city in the background. Here comes a missile.
Right.
Man your missile, you know, your bunker or whatever, and start shooting them out of the sky.
Right.
You know, what if 3D
you
had
like a, you could, like, zoom in and you could see the missile and try to...
I have a film version starring Adam Sandler. No.
We're going to the history for now.
History then.
On this day in history for July 29th, 2015, this is the 210th day of the year. There are 155 days remaining in 2015. It was on this date in 1793 that John Graves Simcoe decides to build a fort and settlement at Toronto, having sailed into the bay there.
July 29th, 1836, inauguration of the Arc de Triomphe.
Triomphe.
Whatever. In Paris, France.
Wasn't Triumph that that dog with the cigar?
Yes, I love Triumph. I love Triumph.
The BBC Light Program radio station is launched for mainstream light entertainment and music on this date in 1945.
It had a third fewer calories than the regular station. Whatever a light station is. The International Atomic Energy Agency is established 58 years ago today.
And that same date in 1958, U.S. President Dwight D. Eisenhower signs into law the National Aeronautics and Space Act. Excuse me, I almost went a little too far with that. Which creates the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. And yay, that's where I was ahead of myself.
Happy birthday, NASA. It was 39 years ago today that in New York City, David Berkowitz,
New York City,
a.k.a. the son of Sam, kills one person and seriously wounds another in the first of a series of attacks.
July 29th, 1981. A worldwide television audience of over 700 million people watched the wedding of Charles, Prince of Wales, and Lady Diana Spencer at St. Paul's Cathedral in London.
I saw that, and I was there many years later. Also today in 1987, British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher and President François Mitterrand signed the agreement to build a tunnel under the English Channel. Witchcraft, I say.
That's right. Astronomers announced their discovery of the dwarf planet Eris on this date in 2005.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to Russian-American engineer and inventor of the iconoscope, Vladimir K. Zorkin, I think, born on this date in 1888.
Go ahead, Jack.
Also born on this date in 1923, Edgar Cortwright, American scientist and engineer.
And the founder of Marshall Amplification, Jim Marshall, was born on July 29th, 2015. What?
Got the Marshall right, at least. One of my favorite English actors, David Warner. Remember Chancellor Gorkin from Star Trek?
No, Sark.
Well, he did many other things. Yes, that's why he's one of my favorite. He turned 74 today.
American director and producer Ken Burns turned 62.
Geddy Lee, Canadian singer-songwriter, bass player, and producer from Rush, who I'll actually be seeing in concert tomorrow, or actually already saw in concert, was also born the exact same day as Ken Burns, July 29th, 1953.
Bring them both a birthday card, will you? Go to the concert. Yeah. I got flowers and cupcakes for everyone.
I'll slow pan, take pictures of slow panning.
Slow pan of the concert.
Right.
Just take a still and slow pan that. We're still double checking the age on this one. If you check with Facebook profile, Dean Haglund is 46, but Wikipedia reports he's 50.
Sounds like somebody edited something.
Maybe. What does he say on the birthday calendar? Probably say he's still 36.
Right. And finally, Will Wheaton is 43 today.
Hooray! Quick reminder, Friday, July 31st, is the last Friday in July, which makes it the 16th annual System Administrators Day. Tell your sysadmin how much you appreciate them. Take them to lunch. Buy them coffee, do something nice for them, because that's the way it was on this day in history for July 29th, 2015. Bye, band. I just like fading them out now. They don't have to march out on that last key. The news.
Good news, everybody.
Well, you want to do that one? That'll work. Wow, that sounded just like Craig.
Good news, jerks.
There you go.
A Wyoming man is accused of smuggling, or actually caught smuggling, cow eyeballs.
Wait a minute. Finish that title.
Wait. We're getting to where he smuggled them. Yeah, same place as the drug smugglers.
And not a location so much as... Okay, go ahead.
Police made a routine traffic stop early Thursday morning and got more than they bargained for when Roy Tilbot, age 51, stepped out of his El Camino. There's a sign of class right there. For his field sobriety test, and Casper police noticed several eyeballs slide from his right pant leg onto the road. Feeling they could have a potential murderer on their hands, police quickly drew guns and cuffed Tilbot. Tilbert assured the police that the eyeballs were not human, but instead cow eyeballs he had pilfered from the Johnson Meats, a slaughterhouse where Tilbert is employed as a butcher. Oh, there's a picture of when that Donna flashed up on the screen. Maybe we can get that up there again. We won't show a picture of Tilbert because it's even grosser than the cow eyeball.
No, actually, the cow eyeball looks like something I'd put on my camera.
Quote,
company won't let us take animal scraps home and instead toss them in the landfill, Tilbert said with the police report. There are very wasteful company.
I'm reading it. It's grammatically wrong, so I'm just reading it grammatically bad.
You're reading it in the voice you imagine that he would be speaking.
Like he's on King of the Hill or something.
We should be allowed to take scrap meat and other parts home. The company should start a green initiative. They don't even have recycling at this plant.
Tilbert explained his actions.
I enjoy eating bovine eyeballs and smuggle them out in my own colon.
Now, Bobby, you know you can't take cow eyeballs out of that place.
That was the only way I knew how to get them out without potentially getting caught and fired.
And then he eats them. Keep that in mind. He enjoys eating them after he smuggles them out in his ass.
He cooks them over propane.
Yeah.
Propane and propane products. Yeah.
He puts them in soups.
He likes to put them in soup.
He's inspired by the
soup I never heard of. He's a crazy.
They're beneficial for erectile dysfunction, which I currently battle, but I also just like the texture and taste.
He promptly told the police they were aphrodisiacs.
Oh, man. You know what? I found a new favorite website for Technorama stories. It's called crazed.com.
Oh, boy.
They have sections crime. I'm not going to read these in order because I think the last one makes it funnier. Crime, WTF, weird, stupid, and Florida.
Florida.
We just missed it.
Yeah. It's sad that Florida comes under stupid.
It's the second one in line.
Oh, yeah. So, you know.
All right, we covered this story a little while ago, also in the news, when Europe got this new high-tech feature. Jack, would you like to read how San Francisco is keeping up with the Europeans?
Oh, I get it.
The urination? Okay, that was too close to the... That was a word. Never mind.
Euro-nation. All right. Taking a leak outside in San Francisco just got a wee bit less fun. Especially if you're a neon person. I mean, I'm just looking at the picture here. So that's because public works crews are coating walls throughout the city with a urine repellent paint that bounces your pee right back at you. Public urination has been a problem in San Francisco for years. The city banned urinating outside in 2002, imposing a $50 to $500 fine on anyone caught in the act. But this has done little to deter late night revelers. Now there's a technological solution afoot. According to SF Gate, officials have just finished painting 9 city walls with a hydrophobic coating that sprays urine back on your shoes and pants. More pee-proof walls are in the works. San Francisco got the idea from the German city of Hamburg. There's a joke here. I'm not going to find it. Where urine repellent paint has helped to dissuade beer drinkers who otherwise couldn't be bothered to find a public restroom. Whether the strategy will work for San Francisco is unclear. The issue of public urination is steeped in controversy because of the city's large homeless population, whose bathroom options are obviously limited. As the Atlantic's City Lab pointed out recently, people who pee outside often would prefer to pee inside. Ellipsis. If we don't want them to pee on the street, we must provide alternatives.
They have alternatives. If you go down to like Fisherman's Wharf and Pier 39 and whatnot, they have those public restrooms that are sort of self-washing. They all stainless steel inside. You walk in, it's bigger than a porta potty because there's a sink and whatnot. And it looks very dystopian, if you will, because whatever can happen in there can easily be washed out by a machine.
Whatever
in
happens
about 30
can be
seconds.
Unhappened.
Right. But I mean, I think those do close down at a certain hour.
Oh, I thought you were going for the ocean. I thought you were saying like, well, I'll just go down to the wharf or the pier and... I guess that's an option too.
Hey, I've been camping. They better not outlaw peeing outside. We got big problems.
They're gonna paint the trees with hydrophobic paint. Surprise!
Yeah, paint it brown so it matches. How's this tree rejecting my urine?
Let's take a look at the listener birthday calendar because we have more funnier stories than that.
Speaking of urine birthday,
what?
Never mind.
We are like the show for bad segues. That's 2 weeks in a row. What did we say last week? It was like speaking of leeches or something, and then we turned to the birthday calendar. Yeah. That's really bad.
It was terrible. It was terrible.
July 29th is Sean Farrell, host of Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing Podcast. We have not heard from Sean in a while. Is he joining the dog days of podcasting again this year, Craig?
Don't remember. I got a few in there that just signed up, and I haven't looked at the list yet.
All right. Slight sidebar. Craig's creation is on its fourth year. Dogdaysofpodcasting.com. Yes. If you want, go sign up. It's a challenge. August 4th through September 4th, 30 days, a podcast every day. It doesn't have to be highly polished in production. It can be as simple as you picking up the microphone and telling your thoughts, like I often do. Some people are going for a theme. I think Dave Slusher started this a couple of years ago, and I really like the idea that carries a theme through the whole year.
So, and it can be as simple or as complicated as you want.
Exactly.
So I'm looking at you, Jack.
Oh, I need
you
simple.
Are you calling him simple?
No, I meant, I was hoping that he would participate.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. But anyway, happy birthday, Sean Farrell. You know, he's a good, he's a good guy. He's a very good guy.
Hey, by the way, we do have 15 people signed up so far.
Excellent. I didn't want you to assume I was going to do it. So I made it official and signed up yesterday.
Yes. Oh, wow. I was going to ask you to, I figured you would, but I was going to ask you to sign up. Wait, anyway, we can talk about that later.
You know, I don't do that anymore.
You've got a mobile phone, hey, right? That's about all you need.
I know you're in the business. We're going to pull you back in.
All right, one last job.
He's retired. Like one last job.
30 days.
And then we take the money from the MGM or whatever. Happy birthday also goes out. Two birthdays on July 30th. Brian Hunt, a.k.a. Zaphod Beeblebrox, and Richard Vobes, who is still around. He does the Naked Englishman still quite a bit. 31 is the wedding anniversary of Will, the computer guy. Apparently in 2007, he was married 9 years, so now he's married 17 years. Happy anniversary to he and his wife. Assuming they are still married and he hasn't updated the calendar for otherwise, we are led to believe that. We roll into August. August 2nd is Brian Ibbett, and August 3 is former podcaster Johnny B. Happy birthday to everybody who has a birthday this week, even if you're not on the calendar. But if you would like to get on the calendar, we would like to see that. Go to chuckchat.com/wiki and get your name out there. We're going to take a real quick break. We have more Hacks and Strange Stories. Oh, the drones are coming. Send in the drones. And news and controversy around that. Our question of the week. And selfies with wild animals.
Dean the comedian.
Dean the comedian. Yeah. Well, you know, I guess I can't really do that much computer hacking. Tell me somebody short and weaselly.
Talk about the iCloud.
Oh, well, it's scary. It's still scary. Scared. If you can imagine that.
That's way too out there.
That's what all your staff thinks of you.
I am not kidding.
Invented a laptop cooling system called the Chill Pack.
Why didn't I think of that?
Chill Coolie, Chili Pack, Chill Coolie, Hottie Pack. How many variations?
It's tech. I'm drooling. Tech.
Exactly. Right. I laugh at your age too. The power of my age 4 will crush your age 2.
Well, see, I'm not compensating for anything.
This interview's over. There's now silence.
Hi, this is Brian from Coverville, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig from Technorama.
And that concludes our birthday calendar in voice form. See, we got Dean Haglin and we got Brian Ibbett. Craig, you still there?
Why, yes, I am.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I was talking on mute. I was just testing myself.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
Is this a conference call?
Yeah, those conference calls that have...
Craig, there's a question for Craig, so what do you think?
5 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds. Craig, you're on mute. Oh, sorry. Yeah,
by the way,
video like that.
Speaking of Dean Haglin.
What about Dean?
We're going to see him in the Lone Gunman again.
Oh, really?
They, from what I understand, and this is what I read online, so take it with a whatever. They're going to be in the X-Files series that's coming out in January.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
that'll be fun. Everybody got older.
Dead, actually. Weren't they? Didn't they get killed off or something?
I don't know. I'm still like on season four.
No, I mean like yeah, it was like towards the on their show or something. I'm trying to remember what it was. No, at the end of the X-Files.
Don't spoil it like, for
me. Spoilers.
With the show was out.
Don't spoil it for me. Read on, Maestro. Would you like the quadcopter with the handgun attached?
Sure.
Which sounds like a lovely idea.
I know. So an 18-year-old college student built a drone with a semi-automatic handgun attached as part of a manufacturing engineering process course.
What could
course.
Possibly go wrong?
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea to me. So this is a brief video, and of course, there's a video demonstrating this. This is not the first time this has been done. I'm sure the government's already done it. wait a minute. We got drones with missiles. What is
Skynet?
This? Yeah. So currently, it seems the student didn't break any laws, but both the FAA and the police are still investigating. And I think an update to this story, I believe the FBI is as well. And for the record, we will probably do need laws about attaching guns to drones. With the rising popularity of drones racing, it's only a matter of time before a new breed of drone flying assassins emerge. And I'm sure that's the case. No fingerprints, no footprints, no getaway car, nothing but a drone and a gun. I think when I first saw this, I was like, oh, it's kind of cool, but it's also kind of scary.
It is kind of scary, and it makes me wonder if our FAA laws don't need a little updating, because the sub-story to that also came out. It says, is it okay to shoot down your neighbor's drone? It says, before you decide to shoot that drone out of your backyard, there are a few important things you need to know. First of all, damaging any flying robot is a federal crime. It doesn't matter if it's crashing your pool party or watching you in your skivvies through your skylight in your master bath. In my legal opinion, says Brian Sachs, a Connecticut attorney and publisher of Drone Law Journal, which apparently is a real thing, it is never okay to shoot at a drone, shoot down a drone, or otherwise damage, destroy, or disable a drone. Or attempt to do so. Doing so is a federal crime. And here's the law. Federal law 18 U.S.C. Section 32 has to say, whoever willfully sets fire to, damages, destroys, disables, or wrecks any aircraft in the special aircraft jurisdiction of the United States, or any civil aircraft used, operated, or employed in interstate, overseas, or foreign air commerce, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned no more than 20 years or both. What does that mean for you? If you attempt to shoot down a flying robot, you could face those two decades in the slammer. So according to the FAA, it controls all airspace from the blades to the grass up. It's you're shooting down an aircraft. If it's a drone, it's a craft.
So Amazon delivery drones are covered by this?
Apparently so. And in the story last weekend where there was a fire on Interstate 15 near L.A. and there was a drone in the airspace, I can understand that because the tankers couldn't get in and whatnot to put out the fire.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
They could get sucked into the engines. They could get, you know, messed up, whatever. I think we really need to reexamine the way we're using RC quadcopters, drones, whatever you want to call them. I mean, there's technically a difference, but I'm not going to make it here.
Well, when I hear you talk about that law about drones, I'm thinking like unmanned,
autonomous.
Kind of automated.
Drone means autonomous, really.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at. So this somebody's on with a remote on the other side of this.
Yes.
So I mean, if I was, a drone comes with at me with a gun, I'm going to be shooting.
Well,
it down
exactly. Is that self-defense or are you facing 20 years because there's a drone with a gun shooting through your pool window? You
know, because if not, then Skynet's already won.
Ha ha, you made the stupid laws.
Well, you can't infringe on a drone's rights to bear arms. That's what I'm saying.
I think we just signed our death warrant right there.
Hey, you know, looking at this drone, and knowing a little bit about drones, cause I have a friend that's got one. And
yeah,
one of the things that everybody that has a drone has to wrestle with is battery life. Cause you know, you can only go 5-6 minutes, maybe.
Oh, really? Oh,
when you got some weight on it, especially like a gun, I mean, you can't just keep adding batteries because it'll weigh it down. And then it's gonna, you know, there's a curve to how much, you know, benefit you're getting out of that. So if you start adding weight like a gun, I imagine that's going to bring down the battery life. It's pretty limited unless it was a really big drone you know, the bigger, you could probably do bigger or something like that. So
yeah,
I don't think it's too much of a threat because they're going to be in the vicinity. I don't know. But you got a weapon on a
yeah. And on battery a gun. Life. Battery life will improve over the years, you know, from yeah. year to year. I mean, it is scary and hopefully we'll deal with it responsibly and maturely as mm-hmm. a society.
I hope so. But usually the legislation around that stuff is way behind.
Right.
Yeah. So I just think it's probably a little less than a threat. Scary nonetheless.
Agreed. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to something sillier. Let's not get bogged down in law and legal stuff because this is not a legal show.
And henceforth, we're in there, Hal.
Eccentric man builds giant chicken church in the middle of the Indonesian jungle.
Wait a minute. I thought this picture was a leftover prop from the Holy Grail.
What?
Or something. I don't know. It looks like something left over from Monty Python.
Sir Robin's church. It kind of does. Buried deep inside the Indonesian jungle is a very odd structure shaped like a giant chicken. The long-abandoned construction, locally known as Gereja Ayam, or the Chicken Church, is a popular tourist attraction in the hills of Magelang, Central Java. Programmers live there. Word on the internet is this strange construction was designed to be a church, but according to its creator, the building is neither a chicken nor a church. Daniel Alamsja, age 67, revealed that he was working in Jakarta when he suddenly received a divine message from God to build a prayer room in the form of a dove. Apparently his artistry doesn't go quite as far as his vision.
Yeah.
It says, perhaps because of my Christian faith, people thought I was building a church. Prayer room, church, fine line there.
Yeah.
But it's not a church. I was building a prayer house. A place for people who believe in God. And that's different from a church? I don't get it. The vision came to him in 1989 when he was visiting his wife's family in Magelang. The landscape looked incredibly familiar, and he realized that he'd seen it in his dreams. I prayed there, night there, and I got a revelation, oddly worded, that I must build the prayer house in that spot, he said. He knew he would never have enough money for the project, so he prayed even harder, which always works. Within 6 months, locals offered him about 3,000 square meters of the land in Rima Hill for the 2 million rupiah, which is about $170. He paid off the amount in 4 years and began to construct his dream project in 1994. The place is now open to visitors of all religions. Buddhists, Muslims, and Christians travel there to use it for their own style of worship. It is a lovely fixture, but it does look like a big drawn-out chicken.
Wow. Need more wings. Way. Get it? More wings. sorry, that's all I got. Wow. Sorry, Craig.
Speaking of a good use of drones, if you watch the video, you get a flyby.
Yes, that's what made me think of this. Okay, there's our segue.
And I enjoy the music as Jimi Hendrix's Little Wing.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
The inside image, however, looks more like one of those pictures where they go to Chernobyl about 25 years later. Yeah.
There's some news, 1980s newspapers sitting around and
there's not really much to the inside to let you know you're in a prayer house other than dirt and concrete. But, well, everybody's got to have a hobby. All right, here comes our question of the week.
By the way, I do want to make just a side note that I do prefer Little Wing from Steve Ray Vaughan to Jimi Hendrix.
So that is the best version.
Yes. Just want to make that clear.
Thanks for the clarification. Jack, would you like to read how the Tucson, Arizona sign was affected?
With pleasure, yes. Hackers caused Tucson drivers to do a double take on the east side. Someone hacked a digital road sign on Pantano Road near 22nd Street to read "Zombies Ahead" and quote "Nuclear Fallout Truck Spill, Turn Around Now." Close quote.
Nuclear Fallout Truck.
Several viewers contacted Tucson News Now regarding the signs. According to Mike Graham of the City of Tucson Traffic Aid, the contractor who owns the signs was alerted to the signs early Thursday morning. The signs were originally hacked on Wednesday night. The wording has since been removed and no zombies were found. So far, there's no word on who the prankster might be. Very nice.
So my question of the week is, if you could hack a digital road sign, what would you make it say?
I've actually, years ago, I saw, I think must have been Boing Boing or something like that, but someone had put Klaatu Barada Nikto on a road sign.
You could just do that on one screen because there are about 10 characters, 8 or 10 characters, and then 3 lines, but then you can rotate through a series of them. You don't want to make it too long, so maybe 3 screens max. Right. So it makes the imagination go when I see stuff like that. What would I do if somebody handed me this app on the internet and said, here, here's all the road signs that are around Phoenix. Pick one and write whatever you want. What would you write?
Yeah, it'd have to be like a haiku. Like you said, you got such limited space. It'd be a similar challenge.
Yeah.
You've gone plaid. I don't know.
Let's see. Technorama is too many letters, I think. That's 11.
Techno-rama.
Turn around now.
Actually, it's kind of like tweeting, really, because you're running out of characters.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could say, the answer is, and then have no more room.
You
know?
You couldn't put a URL up there unless it was a Bitly thing. We want to know your response, dear listener. Let us know. Technorama@checkchat.com.
Wait a minute. Behind you. Exclamation point. I don't know. Just
you missed your turn.
Yeah. Exit 2 miles back.
Your GPS is faulty.
GPS fail.
206-222-2428. Oh, man, it just brings up, conjures all kinds of ideas. Normally, this is when we would give a shout-out to the chat room, but we don't have a chat room or a live stream going yet. We still need your help with the software upgrade fund.
Yeah, maybe you could help fund the chat room.
Right. Wirecast can still record, and we are still posting to YouTube, but unfortunately, we can't do the live stream until we upgrade. So, if we get enough money, we might even get Craig on a digital IP camera, and then you could see his face. And
there goes the funding right in the
button. Yeah. So help us out. There's a link in the show notes, or go to the Technorama homepage and click one of those PayPal buttons. We will love you for it.
Hey, do it now, or we'll launch a Kickstarter.
Maybe that's what we ought to put on the road sign. Fund our webcam.
Just that. Yeah, that won't conjure up the wrong idea.
What? I'm a capitalist pig. What can I say? And then give them a short link. All right. We have a PSA. This didn't really fit in with the Hacks and Strange Stories. It didn't fit in with the news. But for some reason, people are stupid, as always. We know that from watching Facebook, right? Taking selfies with wild animals is utterly moronic. I just like the opening statement on that article. And yet, the fact isn't dissuading Yellowstone tourists from trying to snap smiling vacation photos alongside bison. On Tuesday, a 43-year-old Mississippian woman attempting this misguided stunt was charred by the angry animal and tossed in the air before escaping. The latest Yellowstone bison victim, who turned her back to the hairy beast even though it was barely 6 yards away, tried to flee but was apparently overtaken because bison are definitely way a lot faster than you.
they've had years of practice of being hunted.
You don't have to be faster than the bison. You just have to be faster than the other guy.
That's right.
Lucky for her, she only sustained minor injuries. Thank goodness nobody was seriously hurt. Others haven't been so fortunate. In May, a 16-year-old Taiwanese girl was viciously gored by a bison while attempting to snap a selfie with the animal near a geyser, near the geyser Old Faithful. A 62-year-old Australian man was recently taking pictures within 5 feet of a bison when the beast charged him, didn't have to go very far, and tossed him in the air. In each of these instances, the victim was only attacked after deciding to get within several feet of a 1,000-pound animal. All the thing would have to do is lean over like my cat Todd and be dead.
I think this bleeds over into the Darwin Awards.
Yeah, could be.
By the way, I have to note this because it's cracking me up. Look at the picture of that bison at the top. It's like a Siamese with one head and two butts.
Well, there's just one behind the other.
Where's the other one? Where does one stop and the other end?
It's one of those conjoined twins.
I will say we went to Bear, Arizona. I guess there's a little bit of a plug for Bear, Arizona. We went there up near the Grand Canyon, and it's a wildlife park that you can drive through. And sure enough, it's really great. You guys should go. Sure enough, there are signs before you enter the bear area and the wolf area saying, lock your doors, roll up your windows. And sure enough, there are people leaning out their windows, taking pictures.
Feeding them Cheetos.
Right? The car in front of us were doing this. I said, hey, kids, we're going to watch people get mauled right now. It's Yeah, stupid.
Get your YouTube cameras ready.
Seriously, I just explained the Darwin Awards to my son tonight.
What did he think?
Take him out there and say, hey, look. This, yeah, I told him about this one story about the guy was fighting with his girlfriend. And instead of, he had a rifle in his hand. She was trying to drive off. Rather than him shooting at the car, he turned it around, was holding the barrel of the gun, and hit the car with the butt of the gun. Of course, it went off, removing him from the gene pool. He was like, what an idiot. I was like, there you go.
All right, Craig, I have one more for you because I know you're such a big Jar Jar fan. You get the last story here.
Misa? No.
You missed it. Story for after the show. Has to do with the RPG game that you're no longer a part of, so let it alone. Go on, read. Right.
So, if knowing Jar Jar is bad enough, it turns out that Michael Jackson actually wanted to play him.
Surprise. Okay.
So Amit Best, the actor who has the uneasy distinction of performing the motion capture and doing the voice of the most reviled character of all time.
No, I would say that's a bit extreme, but close.
He's up there, but yeah. He told an amazing story in his interview with Vice. This is what George Lucas told me. Me, Natalie Portman, and George's kids were, and this is Amy Best telling the story. We were at Wembley Arena at Michael Jackson's concert. We were taken backstage and we met Michael. There was Michael and Lisa Marie. George introduced me as Jar Jar, and I was like, that's kind of weird. Michael was like, oh, okay. I thought, what's going on? And after Michael had driven off. Okay. After he'd driven off, we all went back up to the big after party. What's that?
No, go on.
Okay. I'm having a drink with George, and I said, why did you introduce me as Jar Jar? He said, well, Michael wanted the part, but he wanted to do it with prosthetics and makeup like Thriller. George wanted to do it with CGI. My guess is ultimately that Michael Jackson would have been bigger than the movie, and he didn't want that. You know what? I almost want to say that it might have been better if Michael was Jar Jar. I'm trying to, because he wanted to use practical effects. Anyway.
So. Misa, sorry. Misa, you sir, no get angry with Misa.
Well, it would kind of ruin Captain EO for me, really, if he were to.
I know. Yeah. So this is what happened after Captain EO.
Oh, my. Come on, Bubbles.
Yeah. It's funny you bring up Bubbles. I thought about that chimpanzee today. I was like, I wonder what ever happened to him.
He's probably in the museum at, what's Michael Jackson's amusement park called?
Oh, Neverland Ranch.
Neverland. He's probably at Neverland.
I don't think Neverland's gone.
All right. Take us home with your new movie review.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let Jack speak to it a little bit too, but I just wanted to say that I saw Ant-Man and I loved it. You know, I thought it was great. A lot of humor, a lot of action, and a good bit of tie-in with the rest of the Marvel Universe. So, yes, it was very good. And stay for the 2-credit scenes. Just in case, unlike Jack. You want to share your story, Jack?
Actually, that was the main thing I was going to say, is make sure you stay for both. It's absolutely, I don't love it as much as Craig, and as a lot of the geek community has said, but I think it's definitely a good movie. It's fun, has a lot of good jokes, and 2 end credit scenes. So there you go.
Now that rounds out phase 2 of the Marvel.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. I wanted to hear you tell everybody your story.
Oh, the story.
About the end credit scene.
Sure. Yeah. So we stayed, of course, with Marvel movie. Now, you know, so my date and I, we stayed and we watched the first scene. We got up and left, and I was in the men's room. And what are you going to do in the men's room? I looked it up, and the very first thing I saw about the end credits was, did you leave after the first one? Shame on you. I think it was actually at vanityfair.com.
They shamed him in the bathroom. So,
yes. Yeah. Well, that's another topic. Anyway. So, I left the men's room and went back into the theater, and I texted Tiffany, I texted Tiffany to tell her, hey, come back into the theater. She never got my text. So I was standing in the theater, and I did actually get to see it, but I came out and, you know, she thought I had just, you know, had been struggling in the men's room or something. She thought I was just in the men's room for 10 minutes, but no, I,
Will you please go check in my husband?
So yeah, I'd warn you to stay for them both and don't make the same mistake I did, kids.
Yeah, stay in the theater.
All right, you reminded me of something when we came up with shaming in the bathroom. There is a restroom in a restaurant in downtown Phoenix that has colored displays above the men's urinals. Mm-hmm. And I thought they would have advertising or something, but no, they have like two very attractive young ladies there. And it's almost like they're looking through a window because they'll whisper something to each other and then point down on the screen. And either they'll laugh or they'll get, oh, oh my.
I've seen that online.
That really disrupts the brain waves.
I thought you were going to say it disrupts the flow.
That's what I was going to say.
I'm not one of those people, but I understand they are out there.
She's saying, don't cross the streams.
You can't hear what they're saying. It's all just kind of silent mime thing. Anyway, question of the week. One last time. If you could hack a digital road sign, what would you say? Let us know. Call the listener line. 206-222-2428. Email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. Click on those PayPal links so we can get our software updated and stream and be in your ears live. You will hear all the shenanigans that go on before and after the show. And not that we do a whole lot of editing, but you never know what we might have taken out. Thank you very much, Jack, for showing up.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always fun. You guys are the best.
The best that's left.
The best of what?
I'm going to keep another story off to the side because we're running short on the music. But you just conjured up another thing that'll get me in big trouble with my wife sitting right here. Find us on Facebook and all the other links. You know where to find us. What else? Thanks, Mad Mar, blah, blah, blah. Binary high five, Craig.
I know what I'd put on my sign.
101.
There you go.